Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Celebrity Apprentice announces their cast. Whoopi finally sees The View for what it really is. Brandy Glanville slams her ex-co-stars, and my co-host Jessica Lipman and I go in deep, talking reality TV now. Let the ranting begin, and welcome back to Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. I'm sitting across from aspiring producer Jessica Lipman.
Hi, Grant.
Hello, Jessica. Jessica's a new friend of mine. We met through Grant's Rants alum, Justin. Justin's done a lot of shows, does all
He's
the panels. Yeah. So he introduced me to you and was like, we need to get together. You have to talk to her. She would totally do your show. She knows reality TV. I'm like, okay, she's my kind of girl.
That's me. And of course, fittingly, we went to Villa Blanca
yes.
for a nice little brunch. It was a great, I think it was like a chicken lettuce cup.
Yeah.
It was sensational. I give it to Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, so you're team Lisa.
Well, I was until like last week's episode. I'm a little mad at her, but not mad enough that I wouldn't go get those lettuce cups. So I don't regret going.
Right. We had a little bit of a Beverly Hills themed afternoon last weekend here in LA. Where else did we go?
We went to, I don't know the full name, but it's like Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle by Aline too.
Yes, is that it?
Yeah.
All I know is that it's Kyle by Kyle Richards. So
yeah.
that's why I went in. They had good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I, for me, it's tough on those stores. It's like, what the hell am I going to do in there?
You're not going to buy a faux fur vest?
No. No, there's really no reason for me to go, but I think it's a cool store and good for her. And
I think that it was
smart.
It was nice to see. It wasn't so crazy, the prices. Like, of course, I couldn't afford any of it, but they had, you know, things in the low 100s that I would one day see myself purchasing when I am a fabulous housewife of New Jersey, so.
There you go.
And I appreciated the housewives books everywhere. There was one from Bethany and, you know, one from Kyle.
Right.
So, that was
There was,
nice.
Like, a change purse in rhinestones that said hashtag housewife.
Yep. And there was a...
It's what you think. It's really what you think
yeah.
is in there. You know, it's like... There's, like, the long caftans if you're going to a beach.
Very skinny girls that have, like, perfect laser-away faces and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute. I would go back one day after my next paycheck, maybe.
When she opened that store, there used to be a mannequin in the top window with a long brown wig that was supposed to be her. And it hasn't been there, and now it's just a shade that's pulled down. I wonder what happened to...
She got fired.
To fake Kyle.
Fake Kyle. Yeah. She wasn't really holding up her end there.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get rid of her.
Well, Kyle's splitting her time now in two yeah. places. The real Kyle, because she's now on the Celebrity Apprentice cast. And now this list came out. And I usually always get excited about the list and all that. But to me, Celebrity Apprentice is, to me, it's like the last season, they barely bothered to put it out there. They doubled up all the episodes to
yep.
burn it off. Now, this is one of my all-time favorite shows.
Such a great show.
I mean, it's like a dash of drama, a dash of bitchiness, that then they legitimize it by having it be for charity.
Well, it's really...
You know?
What I love about it is that these people are, for the most part, always television personalities. So inherently, they're these big, strong, loud characters. And you put them in these groups, and you're forced to cooperate with one another. And it's just so funny, because in the end, it just becomes this one big competition of who is the strongest... loudest character.
Yeah.
So it's just funny to watch some people that you might think are just really, really powerful and forceful get completely clobbered
yeah.
by someone half their size and who you've never even heard of before. But
well, you and I, we work in the business and we've worked with a lot of colorful characters
okay.
here. And so we know the power of the almighty ego.
What's an ego? I've never heard of that.
So it's hilarious to see these people compete with their egos on who's going to be the project manager and
yes.
whose idea is better than the other and why aren't you taking my suggestions? I worked in this business
well,
for so many years. It's like,
just,
that's how it is like in
yeah.
the office, like
yeah,
every
oh,
day.
Totally. Well, I think it's funny that in a normal season, it's about the hustle. And how much you can make your normal, everyday personality turn you into someone who can work for Donald Trump. But when it comes to the Celebrity Apprentice, it's all about, this is who I know, and this is how much money that they raised, and this is how much money that their cousin raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so important, I'm going to go on social media, and all my followers, this and that. So it's a totally different competition, but both really work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a preference.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like the celebrity one just because I like when it gets messy.
I liked when Joan was on it. Mm-hmm. Because of course she won. Because,
oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Classic. Yeah. I actually have the poster of when she was on the show, the actual, like, NBC.
Really?
Like, yeah, because I love that. And, yeah, times.
For us, too, we grew up watching. Like, I remember the first season of The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
I was very invested in, like, Nick and Amy's romantic storyline. I actually emailed with Amy. She was, like, the runner-up.
Uh-huh.
And she was, like, she was second, and she was a woman. I was, like, so proud of her, and I emailed with her because I was such a loser. And to think I'm now out here and working in reality TV.
Right. I'll tell you, shows, they make an impression on you.
They do.
Unlike this list, some of these people have, you know, they just have not made an impression on me.
No.
Brooke Burke Charvet. This girl continues to get work despite not being liked by many.
I liked her on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, you were in the minority with that one because a lot of people did not care for her. I don't have an opinion either way, but I'm surprised at how many people really severely dislike her.
I mean, she's definitely made the reality TV circuit. That's her.
Yeah.
Her entire resume is just bumping from one show to the next, which is good. I guess, you know, keep the money coming, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I foresee her making it very far.
Right. So we said Kyle, Snooki's going to be on the show.
My girl. I don't know if I see Snooki necessarily winning the whole thing, but I do think that she brings, like, the key demo in.
Yeah.
I don't think the same people are going to be watching for John Lovitz and Snooki.
Yeah.
I think Snooki's going to have the 18 to 25 vote, even though there's no voting. But they don't care. They just want viewership.
Exactly.
So.
I think having her on is good casting.
Yes.
It's, she's really trying to shake her name, Snooki, off anyway, so...
She is... whether or not she is the brightest of the bunch, she's a great businesswoman in a lot of ways. I mean, she's got... I'm pretty sure her and JWoww have a podcast. I also know that they have a YouTube show. They have this new show coming to FYI where Snooki and her husband redo Shore Houses, which is brilliant because it's definitely the right network, and they're sticking to what she knows, which is Jersey... And she also is pretty big on, like, Etsy. And she even does some, like, style. I think she's got a fashion line or store or something. So she's used her fame to her advantage. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't underestimate her. Eric Dickerson was in the NFL. I think I read something about he's got some record for something that they do in football that I wouldn't have any idea.
I never know the athletes. They don't impress me. The athletes, they never make it far. They don't have the stamina.
No.
I mean, they have the fan base, if that's the most important
muscles.
Thing. Yeah, exactly.
They look good in the boardroom.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of about it for them. A Carney Wilson could be interesting. I think someone like her would make it pretty far.
Yeah. I'm excited for Carson Kressley.
Mm-hmm.
Because, duh.
I'm a little tired of him, but...
Never, ever.
Boy George, what can we say? Who knows? That's like a wild card, in my
opinion.
I'm
surprised that he signed on. It's a big get for them.
Yeah.
But apparently he needs the money.
Yeah, I think so. It could go either way with him. Now, Warren Buffett, Tyra Banks, Jessica Alba, and Steve Ballmer are going to be advisors. That's pretty good. I mean, Buffett?
Steve
Has he
Ballmer?
Done TV?
I don't think so. At least not the TV I watch.
Yeah, no,
maybe
I know.
Maybe been on MSNBC
or something.
CNBC or
something, yeah. Who knows? But yeah, that's going to be pretty
good.
Even
Jessica Alba doing primetime television.
I mean, she's in a billion-dollar business,
she
so...
does. Yeah, she's going to bring the mothers into the TV. You know, that's her her demo will be tuning in. I think it was it's a really nice way to sort of recharge The Apprentice. I think, you know, it might have been on the bubble towards the end, and then they couldn't keep Donald, even though when, sadly, he loses the presidency, I know we'll all be devastated. I think he'll eventually come back, because now everyone's like, oh my god, that, like...
Oh, NBC should definitely have him back.
Absolutely. But I think for now, having people like Jessica Alba, and, you know, it makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well... Arnold Schwarzenegger being the host, say what you will, he's a good placeholder for me. I mean, he's very polarizing, you know?
It's interesting because I was actually working at a talent agency when the rumor started as to who would replace Trump. And he was not one of the first names I remember hearing. And I didn't quite think he'd be the best choice. Hardly able to speak English, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little hard to understand him.
Well, I thought they were going to go with Mr. Wonderful from...
Oh, I would have loved that.
From Shark Tank, because it's all part of the Mark Burnett family.
He probably has some exclusivity deal or something with ABC. Because I don't really feel like I've seen him many other places. But, yeah, that would, to me, have been better.
Yeah.
Because Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't just a businessman to me. So it's just a little polarizing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting. They're in production as we speak. Mm-hmm. So the show isn't going to make it on the air for a while. But, you know, we'll have our first look and our opinions as that encroaches.
The promos. I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be good.
I'm not excited to see, you know, the drama that ensues between the housewives. They always kind of do like a cheap dig at the Bravo tension that exists, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but they'll probably spruce it up to be more than it actually is.
Yeah. I don't know what Porsche is going to bring to the show, but who knows. But Tyra is going to bring a lot to the show. She's had quite a change in her career in the last year.
Yeah.
Next Top Model's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For now.
Right.
I mean, I have a feeling they'll kill it and then bring it back in like 2 or 3 years. Because look at with The Apprentice, like, I almost feel like it wasn't on for a whole season. Like, am I crazy?
It really wasn't.
Like, I think that they've come back to it. And
they sat on the last season for a very long time.
Right.
And then with all of this, they had to push their production to be able to start in January, so...
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the way Project Runway has, like, for example, Hannah Davis does Project Runway Junior. I think, like, they just need another model. Like, Tyra was fantastic, but Nigel Barker's worked with a lot of other models, and I'm sure that they're considering it, if the CW at least wants to keep on with the format. I think otherwise it would just have to probably go to a different network. I don't know if the CW would still keep it, but I certainly loved it. I watched the majority of the cycles.
See, when it came to The Fab Life, I never watched that show. I really couldn't be bothered. I didn't need another panel talk show.
Right, totally.
I just was not the least bit intrigued to watch it.
I think I maybe watched it once or twice when it first started just to get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't stay tuned. But I do think what it shows, though, is that when Tyra was on it, it was working. And then she left. And I was like, what is she up to? What is she going to go do? And she kept it under wraps for a while that, you know, she was going to be doing The Apprentice. But if this was her move, if it was, in fact, America's Next Top Model to a panel show to Apprentice, I mean, I'm proud of her.
Yeah, she's nice leveraging
time.
And moving up. And, yeah.
Yeah. It's
going
also,
to prime time.
She's going to prime time. And she's going to prime time right around bringing a baby into her life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really interesting to see the business decisions she's making right at the same time that she's making decisions as a mother for the first time.
ABC syndication's having a tough time.
They are.
And they invested $80 million into Katie, and that didn't go anywhere.
Now she's on Yahoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is she? I definitely prefer my cable to my broadcast. Especially when it comes to, like, strip shows or talk shows. It's just, I can do late night.
Right.
But I can't do, like, your favorite show, The View, for example. I cannot do it.
No.
You couldn't pay me.
The View, talk about another show that's in trouble. This show's been in trouble for a long time. And a lot of articles allude to the fact that it's because of Barbara Walters' exit. This show had many problems and viewer erosion way before she left the show.
Yes.
So, you know, let's not give Barbara Walters all the credit that by her making an exit, The View is now, you know, flooded. It's really not that great. It hasn't been in a long time. It's in the news for constant problems. I woke up today to an article now that Whoopi Goldberg is pretty much going to remove herself from The View, or they're going to remove her.
Yes.
It's not,
allegedly.
It's allegedly, yes. It's just, it's not going well over there. You know, I'll give you the kind of the little details, and then I'm going to, we'll share our thoughts,
yes,
and opinions,
yes,
because I have a lot to say on this. Bear with me. So basically, this woman, she's the highest paid actress in television as of 2015. She gets $5 million a year to lead the show's panel,
same,
which she's done a while. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. I get paid $5 million.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like standard.
Yeah.
Standard.
Hollywood. It's like minimum wage in Hollywood.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Just to go and like read a prompter, basically. She doesn't share. She doesn't share her real thoughts and opinions, except when it came to the Oscars, which she screamed and yelled for 3 days straight. I think she makes a show in a very angry show. It's never been enjoyable, but I think she adds an element of being very angry. And this is the co-host that I actually like.
That can bear to listen to.
this is really, I'm being tough on her.
Totally.
But this is the one that I actually like, so it just goes to show how you feel, how I know how you must think I feel about the others. So, you know, basically it's just got this pay or play contract. I have talked about this constantly, because that's why the show isn't on. Now they're approaching a milestone year.
Are they?
Yeah, it's going to be the 20th season, so they're not going to cancel on a milestone year. But it looks like Whoopi's out to me. I mean, they said the contract for her is up at the end of the season. Even if she does renew it, it would be significantly less money. She's not going to take it. She's not happy, and it says that she's mainly unhappy with management behind the scenes. Now, and I looked at this first off, and I said, wow, you're the highest paid actress in television. You're on a daily talk show, which you've had for a long time.
And you get
time
to just show up to work and talk.
Yeah. What's
amazing
the problem?
Yeah.
What's the problem? You come in, you make your own schedule.
Yeah.
You know.
You get to wear loose t-shirts.
Yeah.
When everyone else is wearing Spanx.
And you know what it is? That all the people have complained about The View, it's 1 hour of live television.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it gets in TV.
Totally.
You know, anything
it's
else.
It's the same
is
thing every day, too. It's not like, we're here live in the streets. Like, there's no.
Right.
She just sits at a desk.
And it's live.
Reads a cue card.
And it's live. So it's like, it starts at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yep.
It ends at noon. Like, there's no. None of this, like, it's going to be a 7 hour day or it's going to be 14
she
hours.
She can make it to 2:30 Vinyasa Flow. She has life made.
Yes.
She, yep. She lives the life.
I live to be able to make it to 2:30 Vinyasa
same,
Flow.
Same.
That's like an ideal life.
I only get to the 5:45 Hatha, which is an like 85-minute class, and the girls that get to make it to the 4:30s and the 2s, like Whoopi. I mean, I'm just so envious. It's a 60-minute class, and
Someday we'll get there.
I don't know if I can see her, though, being like a member of Yoga Works.
No.
She doesn't seem very zen, at least.
Not,
how could you be at The View?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then I looked at it from the other side. Now, this show is notorious for having tons of tumultuous behind-the-scenes relations. It's not good over there. There's a lot. I'm talking about yelling and screaming.
Mm.
It's not a good atmosphere on that set. And it's not a well-produced show, and you can tell from the top down.
Yeah. I think I personally, and I know that you said you like Michelle Collins, and I do too. I think that she actually brings some humor back into the bits that they
I
do.
I like Michelle Collins.
Like, I feel like having Elizabeth Hasselbeck gone is great.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. You know, I think people get a little uncomfortable when Raven's there, when she's
mm-hmm.
speaking and, like, using her mouth to talk and say stupid things. Candace Cameron Bure, though, she, for me, she makes my blood boil. I'm not, I know this comes on the heels of, you know, Fuller House and whatnot. I'm just not into what she says and thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she has anything to share, I see change.org putting up petitions to get her axed. She just does not make people feel good about their life choices. They said, they say such, I don't know, racist things, sexist things. They said something about nurses I didn't appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't know.
The way they handled that one was unbelievable, to say the least. They literally had a legion of nurses parade around the studio while they clapped for them.
I just don't understand what they... I understand that it's like a place for them to come and talk and, you know, share their feelings. But That's right. Go to therapy if you have terrible things to say about the world.
I've always said this about the show. If they want to share thoughts and opinions on elections and about life and about breastfeeding, women's issues,
autism,
then let's do it. But let's have a panel that has some form of an education. Let's start
Have an associate's degree.
Yeah.
They're probably, you know, obviously Barbara Walters, Joy Behar, I had some respect for them. And even Whoopi at one point I did. I know I said Joy. I have. I don't know. Have you seen Late Night with Joy on TLC?
Unfortunately, I did look at that awful show. I did.
Where she tried to set up her Jewish assistant with, cameramen.
Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Very cheap.
Now, you mentioned Michelle Collins. Now, yes. I like Michelle Collins.
Yes.
But ABC doesn't like her. They never have her on anymore. She's in the opening title, so she's not a correspondent. Mm-hmm. She is a main
She
panelist.
Is actually in the... say, and ABC is using her to their Bachelor Nation advantage. She does many a Bachelor in Paradise, After the Rose. She does many Bachelor Live segments. She is friends with some pretty high up people in the comedy landscape. So I feel like if I'm not seeing her on TV, I'm hearing about her on other podcasts. Or she's, I don't feel like she says as many negative things because she's a bad person or comes from a bad place. I think she's mostly just kidding around.
Right.
And for some reason, I can forgive her. But she's like the only one that can sit at that table and make a joke that I feel is remotely insensitive but tolerable. Most of the time, though, like I
get it.
If The View is on, I'd rather mute it than listen to it. Like I don't want to be anywhere near it.
Yeah, well, many people feel that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Michelle Collins is hardly ever on, and they had Whoopi made a comment. She said, "Yeah, we like having you here. Where are you, Michelle?" And she looks at the right into the camera. Yeah, ABC. Where has she been? So there's clearly something there going on.
I just
with her
like,
not having the airtime.
Yeah. When you tune in, they're always bitching about something to do with the work or the dynamic between them or like the viewership and their response or whether it's management. I'm like, it's just, I don't get good vibes watching the show.
No, it stresses me out.
Mm-hmm. And I don't tune into, I don't want to watch 10 a.m.
Right.
like television in order to have like a blood clot. Like I'd rather it be an enjoyable experience.
Well, I'm on Team Whoopi with this one because that show has a terrible reputation for working on.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This girl, she deserves to be able to feel this way about management and being pissed because she's working on the worst show on television. So, you know, I have more respect for her for feeling that way than just going along with it and not recognizing how terrible it is.
Do you think if she's not the moderator, do you think they're going to bring in someone new and keep it going? I mean, I know you said that you don't foresee them canceling the show, but I mean, Fab Life was doing better than and The Real clobbers The View. So
they're in deep trouble, and it's nothing to do with Barbara Walters who left 3 years ago.
700.
It has nothing to do with it.
I don't remember her on that. It was so long ago.
20 years of a talk show is a good enough run. And
I
really shouldn't be giving them compliments. But
go
I
enjoy menopause.
It's just done. It's tired. It's done. It's now been ripped off a million ways to Sunday. Goodbye.
Yeah. Done. I'm breaking up with The View. Not that I ever was dating it, but completely rejecting it from this day forward.
Well, speaking about breaking up.
Yes.
You know, you can always get back together.
Are we talking about Liam and Miley? Okay.
Yes. Cool. Liam and Miley Cyrus are back together, and I loved Miley when she was with him.
Yeah.
She was young Hollywood, youthful but upcoming. The way she carried herself is different. She looked good.
She was sexy and pretty and glamorous.
Yeah,
all the same time
exactly. It was like a grown-up Miley from the Disney Channel. It was, you know, she had values
confidence.
Then.
Yeah. She had values, yeah.
Yeah, and then everything just went awry.
Felt
but, you know, I guess when everything, you throw everything up in the air, everything must come down and settle, you know. So I feel like she settled and she realized she had a good thing with a very good-looking man.
You think that it was on her? I think he left her. Because she was coming into her own. She had definitely shed the skin he was used to seeing her in, I think. She was, I mean, come on, 2-3 years ago when she was doing Can't Stop and dancing with Robin Thicke, of course, like any guy, I think, would be a little concerned. And I was reading on E! Online, and they were saying that a source said he never stopped loving her, but they were dating for a long time, and they were still young. Mm-hmm. And before you really want to settle down and commit, like, if you're not, I don't know, 27, 28, what's the rush? I think they wanted to spend some time apart.
See, I think everyone deserves their 20s. I really think everyone deserves their 20s to do whatever they want. But then you play into the
thing. Talk to me next weekend when it's Valentine's Day.
Then whenever you throw in, like, biological clocks, then women get pissed. They're like, I don't want my 20s. I want to be able to, like, find someone and get married and have kids. But I don't know. I think everyone deserves that time to kind of go out there and have fun. But I think she kind of went a little over the top. Mm-hmm. And if you have something good, you don't let it go. Especially someone like him who could really have anyone.
I really think that he was the one that said, we got to go our own separate way. And she said, okay, you do you, I'm gonna do me. And mm-hmm. her me was just something that we're used to seeing with these, like, Disney stars. And then when they do it, we're shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, what happened? It's like, she grew up. She's finding out what her brand is. Mm-hmm. I love Miley for who she is. Like, she's one of the stars that I've never been like, oh, she's too much for me. Mm-hmm. I actually really approve of her antics. I think that she knows that it's buzzy, but she knows that she's talented and she's still going to get work. And I don't know. I'm not going to say she doesn't look bad or that she does look bad with that short hair. I think she looks stunning. She shows off her body. Mm-hmm. You know, it works if you work it. I know that's not probably not fitting in this situation. But I don't know. I just feel like she knows what she's doing with herself. And I completely admire her. Yeah. And look, she got the guy back. Mm-hmm. So whether it was her breaking up with him initially or it was mutual or whatever it was, I love that they came back together because it's, to me, it's a Cinderella story.
Yeah. Well, you sent me an article, and it was cosmopolitan.com, mm-hmm. and it was the full love story timeline from the beginning to recent, and now mm-hmm. it says that they're allegedly living with one another, so who knows?
Well, I loved on TMZ, they actually did this look at, you know, what the house that she's buying is going to be. And I guess it's it shares, like, a driveway with Liam. So they're not going to actually live under the same roof, but they're going to live next door to each other. And my favorite part of the article was that it just wouldn't make sense for Miley and her 5 dogs to move in with Liam. And I love that she is going to have something close by, but she's going to have her own bed, probably going to have her own, like, little ashram on the land. I don't know. I mean, I just love
sharing a driveway. I mean, I could see if it was custom built, but I mean, well, they're lucky that they happen to both like the homes that share a driveway together.
The rumor, I guess, is that they'll expand it into one big compound, but for now, she's gonna have her house, he's gonna have his. He's got friends living with him, and she's just doing Miley. She's just doing Miley. So well, I don't know.
I like that. That's new age. I like it quite a bit. Yes.
I love her. I love her. I love them. I'm happy for them. Miley, if you're listening, mazel. Congrats.
Do you love Brandy Glanville as much as you love Miley Cyrus?
I would never put Brandy and love in the same sentence. No.
Brandy's showing off on her podcast. She may not have a voice this season on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but in her podcast, she's got a lot to say.
As always. When doesn't she?
Yeah, it keeps coming up that Brandy has been mentioned in every episode of the season so far in Beverly Hills, and she's such a part of it. I don't see where she's that much of a part of the show. They've been making a big deal about how, you know, everyone keeps talking about her over and over. And I'm like, okay, I don't wish them all.
She just makes me uncomfortable, like, even looking at her picture. I'm just like, that's what pure unhappiness looks like. Like, she just seems so, I don't know, bitter. And I think that she's lashing out against Bravo and against Kyle and Lisa and all of them because she's butthurt that they gave her the axe when she deserved the axe. She's a bully.
But I thought from a story perspective, she was great for the show.
Like, of course, it's the drama's not so there, not so present. But, like, I love Erika Jayne, and I think Erika Jayne brings wisdom to the show, whereas all Brandy brought was, like, the C word and, like, tension, and I don't know. I think her aura's, like, black. I don't know. She's just very negative and mean. I don't know. I, I watch Bravo probably for different reasons than you might, or, you know, the guy down the street might. Like, for me, I want to tune in and definitely get my fix of drama so I don't need to have any in my own life. But I don't need to watch women be, like, slapped unnecessarily. I don't need to watch, like, friends egg their alcoholic friends on to be drinking more.
Yeah.
And or to support that. Like their alcoholism, like, oh, I was an alcoholic too, it's fine, I get it. Like, then maybe you guys should do your own things. I don't know. I'm just like not into, I don't support anything Brandy does. So
interesting. Well, she says, quote, "Here's the reason those bitches are cowards. They're going to talk about people who can't defend themselves because they don't want to talk about each other. So I'm going to address two things that were said about me, and then I will have to give my side, and they can flock off." I've never heard of telling them to flock off.
Which, it's just weird because, like, she curses because she's disgusting all the time. And she chooses to say flock. You could just go for it. Like, what's, why
hold back now?
Yeah.
Then immediately after that, she calls Lisa Vander. And the last second part of Vanderpump's name is not Pump. She's calling it the
C word.
So it's like,
she's grotesque.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, you're censoring yourself, and then you're going for the worst word you can say.
I will say, though, I did hear her say at one point, which is like what you just said, she gave Bravo what they wanted. You know, they loved her being loud and obnoxious. And is she probably going to end up back on the show? I'm sure. Because this Faye Resnick thing is going to die down soon. But she brings up Faye here, doesn't she? Oh, she said, Lisa hates Kyle. Lisa hates Faye. Like,
Lisa Vanderpump said that Brandy wants her all for herself.
Yes.
So then, of course, now in this podcast, Brandy's like, no. She's like, I don't, like, she's not a prize. Like, I'm not her, like, you know, thing to
hold. She's not the be-all end all.
Yeah, and you know, Lisa Vanderpump, I just want to say this. She takes in a lot of damaged people, and then, you know, they're damaged, and when they turn, and they always do, then she's falling victim once again. But Lisa has to break that pattern herself.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she can't expect, you know, the world from these people.
And then there's one pony with one bad leg, and she can't bring that home, but she can bring bitches like Brandy into her life. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I feel for her in that she feels like she can't defend herself.
Mm-hmm.
But just like Kyle said about Kim, her actions are indefensible, so.
Well, speaking about that, she says about her relationship with Kim. She says, "Here are the facts. I am Kim's friend. They have always had family problems, and they continue to, and it has nothing to do with me." But Kyle, like you said, is calling her a catalyst for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it helped things, but I don't think that Brandy's not good for anybody.
Honestly, there's a reason we never see her kids, and it's because she shouldn't ever have them, like, in her custody. I don't know. I just really think that she... Brandy, if you're listening, really sorry. You've got great legs. I don't know. I just, like, I think that all Brandy is, like, the epitome of what viewers my age probably don't want to aspire to be. A lot of the women are, of course, wackadoodles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know if I want to end up like any of them. But Brandy just seems very miserable, and I think it's because she has such terrible things to say all the time. I don't fault her for feeling the way that she does, but to just throw darts like Kyle hates her and Kim hates her and they hate each other. Okay, but like, what? Like, that's not your world anymore.
I don't see them. I like Brandy Glanville, but I don't see them calling Brandy out of her name the way this girl is calling them out of their name on her show.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say about that.
I would find, if you're going to really have a loyal audience and, you know, you're going to move forward with your life and your profession, then I would come up with some new material. You're off the Housewives. Like, no one's turning to you for housewife drama anymore. And if they are, then is your podcast just about the Housewives? Like, that's what you bring to society? I don't know.
Well, I mean, because of this, she created her new segment on her show, Brandy Fires Back, or something along those lines.
So scary, right?
So it's like,
can you imagine Brandy firing back?
So basically, it's just going to be like her, it's going to be her time for her to talk about whatever housewife has said about her that week. That's kind of all that segment is going to be, because nobody else is talking about
it. Like, what beef does she have with, like, Rosario Dawson? Like, none.
Yeah.
Like, all she can talk about
Exactly.
This housewife group.
Let's talk about one other housewife, Teresa. I know you are a big fan of the New Jersey housewives.
Yep.
So we have to talk about this one.
Yes.
Everybody else is just jealous, as she says.
Hell yeah, they are.
So she is off her home confinement. She still is on probation, so she has a supervised watch or whatever. But she's out there, and I know she recorded the audiobook, which I'm going to get. I know I said this before on this show. I really am not. If I buy the book, I'll never read it. But if I get the audiobook, I'll treat it like a podcast. And I'll listen to it at the gym, in a waiting room, in the car.
You're going to work out to Turning the Tables.
Maybe.
It's going to pump you up.
Maybe. I do actually really like to work out to podcasts. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like it's like I have someone with me as I'm working out. So there's a little recommendation for you listeners. If you haven't thought about it yet, you can always listen to our show in the gym, in a car, in a waiting room.
Where else? You fall asleep at night, as you wake up in the morning.
Yeah. I always admire people that listen to this show while they're at work. I love that. I don't know how you can manage it. I mean, the two of us are always answering phones. Yes. So we can't concentrate on anything.
No.
So
I'm in Microsoft Outlook all day. I don't have time for iTunes podcasts. I wish.
I know. I make time when I can. But
only
yes.
This one, of course.
Of course.
This is the best.
Well, yeah, you'll get a little bit of everything on this one. So Teresa, what do you want to say about her? I know she's your girl, she's back, she's, you know, things with Melissa are good.
Looking good, yeah.
You know, have they started production?
You know, I don't know specifically if they've started production when it comes to the whole entire group. I think they're probably reforming the cast at this point. Obviously, they did Teresa Checks In, which I loved because I watched all three. Yep. And the entire time, you're thinking, are we going to see her or are we just going to hear her? And we heard from her and it still felt just like she was there. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like... which she made a lot of stupid decisions. Her husband made even more. But something about her personality and even a little bit of her ignorance, it makes you just appreciate her quirkiness all the more. Mm-hmm. So even though she, you know, committed a huge series of crimes, I still love her. I hope that she can pay off all the debt that she owes. I think it's like $13.4 million or something in that yeah. range. And I wish her all the best. Really, I do. I love Housewives of New Jersey. It's so authentic. Like, it is so accurate of an Italian group of women living in northern New Jersey. I can't even tell you. So I just love that she's real and that she's never put on a front. She's very unapologetically herself. And I think her book will tackle that.
Right.
So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to give it a read or listen.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't been a part of that world since that three-part special. Like, it's like even up to that point, there hadn't been anything on the air regarding Jersey Housewives
right.
in a long time. Was surprised that they held the whole series captive to her.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that it would be a great way for them to introduce a new cast, have her come in halfway through the season, and then that way we're meeting new women, people are curious to see Teresa come on, so then they have that investment with the new group, and then she seamlessly comes into the new group.
I don't
group.
Think that they're going to want it to be seamless, though. I think that they're going to want...
Dude, that's my beef. They make it
and
all about her.
But she is... She holds the apple in the middle. Not the apple. She holds the whatever they hold. I can't even keep track.
They just
There's
have
so
hands
many.
On their shoulders. And this
I think they hold little New Jerseys. I should really know this. But
they don't hold anything.
They don't?
Yeah. They just have their hands on their hips for this one.
Well, she is the show. They need her.
Well, I think they need her, but I think there's tremendous room for replacement housewives, and they need to kind of find a new direction for the show. It's been quite quiet, and it's just almost not housewives to me. It's almost like a story about an Italian family, but...
yes, definitely. But I like it. I mean, it's probably my favorite housewife installment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching it the longest. I mean, it's all on Hulu, thank God. You can just watch it all in a week and...
Right.
It's everything you need to know about the world around you.
Thank God for that.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
let's get back to the show. Jessica, you are an unscripted girl, and this is why we bond, and you clearly know your stuff and the topics. What made you want to get into this business of unscripted specifically? What was the inspa, the inspiration?
The inspa. I actually feel that reality chose me. I did not choose reality. Growing up, whether it was my parents watching, you know, these big format shows on cable, or whether it was just me falling into it naturally when I became my own viewer after school, I grew up just really indulging and binging on these ridiculous shows. Flavor of Love.
Oh my God, Challenge. The best show on television. So, Flavor of Love.
So dope. I loved it.
Yeah. That's what did it for me.
I mean, it was fantastic. And
you know what? That's why I can't watch The Bachelor, though.
Stop.
I can't watch it because to me, Flavor of Love was like everything to me. It made the whole format a joke. And now when I watch it and they still try to make this like serious show with like this guy like, you know, cuddling up with like next to this big tree and folding his arms. I'm like, I can't take to this. Like, it's too hokey for me. No. Flavor of Love broke it for
me. The Bachelor, on another note, is fantastic. And it pains me to hear that you don't appreciate all of its idiosyncrasies because
Idiosyncrasies? I guess, yeah. Is that a word? Yeah. You know, I have not received jobs so because good. I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Your life is of lesser quality than mine, I think. No, it's just so, so good. And every season is really different. So it's kind of, you know, you can't give it a 5-star overall. Every season is, like, this season right now is a bit boring to me. But, like, Caitlyn's season last season was so high stakes. Like, I just was so invested. But so growing up, I was really drawn to these shows. And, you know, I definitely have appreciated my Breaking Bads and my Game of Thrones. I marvel at the production value and production design that goes into so many scripted shows. But when it came time to apply for jobs in entertainment, I didn't even have to ask myself. There was no question in my head. Like, when it came to, like, what ideas I wanted to pitch or what kind of projects I wanted to work on,
right.
I just didn't even have to think about it. And the fact that I ended up in entertainment in the first place was insane in and of itself. I was actually I came into college a psych major, and then that evolved, and I was a forensic psych major, and I thought I was going to work in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was right around the time of the Boston bombing at the Marathon. I was at school at Boston University, and that happened. And I think the crime was just a little too close for comfort for me. And it really sort of jolted me awake. And I realized maybe what I like about crime is watching it on HBO in the form of a documentary, or now on Netflix in the form of Making a Murderer. So I think it hit me that I actually probably enjoy crime programming more than working with criminals. So right. I thought, okay, let's switch gears. And I switched from the arts and sciences program into the communications program and started in television production classes and didn't think I wasn't sure I'd make a career out of it. I thought, you know, I'll get my degree. I'll learn about TV, which I've always loved watching. And I took my first class, and I remember printing out the syllabus, and I read the first line and was like, holy shit, this is actually what I meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still feeling it. I still feel very confident this is the industry for me. There are, of course, moments where I'm like, oh my God, if the phone rings one more time, I'm jumping off the building. But at the end of the day, it helps get the Bachelors and the Flavors of Love made. So I'm definitely, as you say, an unscripted girl.
Yeah. So from New Jersey, school in Boston, why LA over New York?
Well, I grew up about 20 minutes outside of the city, and going in was, you know, fun. It was nice to see the Broadway shows and marvel at the Sex and the City sites, but it never drew me in terms of, like, making it my home. And so when I went to BU, they had this internship program in LA you know, they called it the study abroad, quote unquote, program. And you come out to LA and you learn, you know, production value classes and the business of television, and you learn about the big four talent agencies, and you really get an education in Hollywood. And I think from the moment I realized that reality TV was for me, I realized this program was for me because they have so many great networks out here. And I got very lucky. I applied and was accepted to intern at Bravo, which is, I think, sort of as unscripted as you could get.
Oh, the best.
And they have all my guilty pleasures on their lineup. Mm-hmm. So it was very apparent to me that this was the right move for me. So I packed my bags. I came out here. I drove cross country with my mom. It was like a week in the car. We drove, through some really little towns and some really beautiful ones. And we came out here with all of my stuff, and I banked on it working out. And about a year and a half later, here I am. I just love the LA vibe. I just love the culture, the friendliness, the food. Mm-hmm. That every few blocks is a totally different neighborhood.
It's true.
So there is not even a comparison for New York and LA, even though, you know, it worked out through school and my internships that I landed here. I thank God every day I did, because New York to me is just a little sad and not as vibrant. And I think LA was made for me.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love talking with different folks on this show to see really what drew them here. And it seems like a lot of people, no one came here by mistake.
No.
You know, it was always by design, and it was like, I just knew it was the right place. And yeah, I love asking that question, especially with people who did grow up with the influence of the big city right down the street.
Yeah.
You know, like, why not
I get
there,
that question,
you know?
Constantly. Mm-hmm. And I still think about it. I still definitely...
I do.
Yeah. I'm always like, you know what? I want to walk up. Like, you know what? I could get to know the subway line. But, and I think my friend Justin said this on the podcast. He was in an episode not too long ago where he said, like, when you're in the car, you can listen to NPR and you get to, like, sightsee a little. And for me, there's just a quality of life that New York just can't offer. So I get homesick. I miss my family. I want to be closer to Europe. But, you know, I think that every day in LA is a nice little treat.
Yeah.
So it's definitely boosted my overall happiness, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's picture perfect here today. Not a cloud in the sky. Super warm.
We both went for a hike yesterday. Yeah. My friends are bundled up in their apartments with blankets and no heat on the East Coast. And I just don't envy them.
I know. It's a terrible thing.
I miss it, but...
I know. The distance is what does it for me. It's just too... It takes me forever to get home.
6 hours with my dog, who...
I wish.
Everywhere.
Me takes me 14.
Really?
I have to take, a bunch of different flights. It's, like, not fun.
See,
but six hours is doable. Like, if I flew into New York, which I've done in the past, and then I've just kind of taken the train from there, I did some time in the city. Like, that's... much better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the direct stuff, I mean, the direct doesn't exist. I've never taken a direct flight to where I live.
It's so expensive. It's just, you miss a lot of things. Like, when I was in college, I used to be able to go home for the weekend if I wanted to, for a 3-day weekend. And even I actually went to prep school for high school up in Vermont. So I spent 4 years away before college. And it was a great experience. It was so beautiful up there. And I just would love taking the train back home and seeing all the wintry scenes and the foliage. But it just, I would do the 6-hour plane rides happily to avoid the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my skin's better. The fruit and the veggies out here, I really don't ever see myself actually going back unless I like... Unless, like, you know, I'm hired to run 30 Rock, in which case I'll go and I'll happily move. But
and a job like that, you'll probably almost be bi-coastal if you're going to be an executive.
They are, really.
Yeah, they really are.
They certainly have. I remember when I was at Bravo, they definitely had offices for the bi-coastals.
Yeah.
And you think that's the dream, because it really is, to be able to live a different life half a year than... One to the next.
And this business, to have any type of flexibility like that, is really like the top 1% of jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the holy grail, really.
Yeah.
I could only wish.
Yeah. It'd be fun to jet set back and forth. Yeah. I can imagine that with a family, it's tough. So maybe the grass is greener.
Yeah.
But...
So, aspiring producer, who are some people that you look up to and kind of admire in your career?
Well, Sally Ann Salzano is a Northeast chick just like me. And she did Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And was involved in just a handful of really just over-the-top, explosive programming that I think made up the big bubble of the 2000s that really represent the golden era of reality TV. And fun fact, it's also rumored that she is the inspiration for the character of Rachel on Unreal. Mm. So Sally Ann is definitely a force to be reckoned with in Unscripted. So I think that, you know, in terms of a particular name to throw out, that'd be one of them. But I really look to my bosses and the bosses I've had in the past and my friends' bosses and just think, I just hope and pray that I will, you know, churn out enough fresh ideas to get to where they are. I definitely see myself on the development side of things. So I'd love a room with a view and some air conditioning while I can come up with a grid and plug in my ideas and pitch them to networks. Definitely Frances Berwick, though. She sort of she heads up lifestyle programming for NBCU, and she is just... And Bonnie Hammer. I mean, there's a lot of strong women in the industry, and I hope to be just like them.
There you go. Good role models.
Good role models, Nice ladies.
Tell us a story of some type of Hollywood inside moment that you've had since you've been out here. So you said a year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah. So what's been the craziest run-in or messy moment?
My God, a messy moment. All of my days and all of my hours spent working at a talent agency were so hard, but in the best way possible. It's like when you go to like a workout class and you're like your thighs are burning and your arms are burning and you're like, I'm gonna die. Oh my God, I'm like actually about to die. That was what working at a talent agency was like. But then when the class ends or when the day wraps, you're like, look how much I learned today. I know who's doing what, who's sleeping with who has this going on in their life, who's thinking about doing this but is going to say no because this is happening even though this person isn't aware of it yet. Mm-hmm. So there was just a lot of insider trading going on. That's kind of where I learned that information and contacts are currency in this town. I had a boss who was tough on me but was such a big mentor. I didn't realize it until I think the very end when I accepted another position elsewhere that I really realized how far he had helped me come. So I would definitely say all the mistakes that I made on the desk and all the lessons I learned helped me to be a better assistant. And that's what I am now. I'm a development assistant at an Unscripted Prodco. We're on the WB lot and I only got there because of that boss at that talent agency. So to think of one moment would be nearly impossible.
Yeah.
But we can certainly talk about the 7 to 8 months that I spent working there and how worth it ended up being when all was said and done.
So you would recommend that route to a lot of people. There's one thing about this business, which is the biggest blessing and the biggest curse at the same time, is there's no one way to get to the same place.
Oh, definitely not.
So that's great because you have different options, but also it's very frustrating because not every road leads to gold.
No.
So it's like you really need to be really smart about the moves that you make. And a lot of folks here, especially out of school, go to talent agencies not to become agents, but to become well-equipped with desk experience, knowledge of the business, politics, who reports to who. My experience was the NBC Page program. That was my equivalent.
That's a great program.
But a lot of people in this business... They still value mailroom experience over the NBC Page program.
I am a very calculated person. Obviously, life happens, and I make room for, the flow to go as it will. But nothing, as you said earlier, like no one ends up in Hollywood as an accident, or it's never a mistake, or whatever. But for me... I have a purpose behind all of my actions. So when I moved out here, I was already looking at entertainmentcareers.net. I was already looking at the UTA job list. And I was looking for what people were looking for in candidates. Mm-hmm. And I kept seeing requires 1 year of agency experience.
Yep.
And I said, well, I don't want to be an agent, but there's got to be something to this experience because everyone wants an assistant who's come through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the mailroom. It's sort of like the holy grail out here.
That's like a rite of passage.
It was like going through Greek life all over again. I read it and I thought, you know, there are some really fun facts that these people picked up along the way. And some of them became agents and others became heads of production at HBO. And I thought, this will be a year of my life. And if I'm so lucky as to get in, because it's a very low acceptance rate. The agency that I went to has a 4% acceptance rate per year. So you end up going through the process, and by accident, you're in the running for jobs only at talent agencies because they're the only places that will really consider recent grads. I was lucky. I knew a few people that could push my resume along. And
even at that, there's certain times of year that it's better to get into that. Other times you can't even be seen. It's like you really, I mean, and to learn all this and to learn that this is something that you should be doing if you want to work in the industry and be like, 22 years old.
I was offered my agency job when I was still in college. I was still interning at Bravo. I had a month and a half left. And I started last January, so not very long ago at all. I remember looking around the first day when we were sort of being knighted and there was 10 of us. And I had known that there had been there's thousands of applicants each year to every talent agency. And I felt hashtag blessed. So I would encourage anybody who wants to make it in this business, I'd encourage anybody at all to apply to these programs because you will be lucky to get your foot in the door that way. The exposure is unprecedented. Coming over to the WB and having the job I have now, I know people because of my experience on that desk. I was talking to so many assistants. I was setting so many pitches. I learned about the town by even confirming lunches and coffees and drinks for my boss. So it was an education in and of itself, and I would highly recommend applying to at least the Big Four.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of agencies in town, but if you can get your resume pushed at the Big Four, which is, you know, ICM, WME, CAA, and UTA, I would go that route for sure.
Yeah.
It's only a year. The pay is shit, but...
The pay is terrible.
But you come out a stronger person.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's a huge requirement to do much of anything around here.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So how do you keep the faith? How do you stay motivated?
I have a calendar next to my TV at home. And every single day, I have a list of what's going to be premiering. So January was very busy for me when I came home from work every day. I just consumed all these new shows. So I think what keeps the faith for me is staying in the loop in terms of current programming, getting a sense of what buyers are buying, what viewers are viewing. You know, then I'll go and I'll read the trades and see what the numbers are, and I'll turn to social media and see what the responses are. But for me, I think watching what's on television is what keeps me going. Knowing what's working, what's not working, what I like, what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that makes me a better professional, and it keeps me passionate about the industry. I think if you're not watching what's going on, you don't really know what's actually ending up working. And I don't know. I just, for me, that's my go-to is, it's very therapeutic.
Yeah,
I come home,
smart.
I cook, I sit in front of the TV, and I watch 2 to 3 hours of reality TV. So,
I like, well, you're on the right show.
Live in large.
Yeah, you're on the right show. That's what we watch on this show.
Good.
I like
everything
it.
But The View, right?
Well, thank you for coming in and chatting with
us
about
everything. Thank you for having me. I'm literally obsessed with you, as are all your listeners, I'm sure.
Aw, thank you. I love it. Well, the show is doing really good, and I want to thank all of my listeners for checking us out and checking out former episodes and other panel episodes that have been put out there where we talk about other topics in the past. I want to remind everyone to please submit your questions, a stupid game, a ridiculous comment, and let us know for our segment, We Need to Talk. I do want to hear from from you. You can check us out on our YouTube channel where there's bonus content listed there. And there's stuff from past episodes, other topics, the conversation continues on there, little snippets. So check it out. You know, of course, like us on our Facebook page and all that. But thank you so much for checking us out and continuing to listen and support Grant's Rants. And our thanks to Jessica Lipman for coming in.
Thank you, Grant.
All right. I'll catch you on the other side.
Bye.
For bonus chatter from this episode, check out Grant's Rants Small Talk on YouTube. This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.